What are we talking about on Wednesday nights? Waiting. Mm-hmm. Waiting. 13,140,000 minutes. 219,000 hours. 9,125 days. 1,300 weeks. 300 months. 25 years. Who waited that long? Who waited that long? 13,140,000 minutes. Abraham and Sarah waited for a baby. And all those other numbers were the same thing, just broken down. That's how long they waited. Turn to Genesis. Now, before I give Abraham the gold star, Abraham struggled with waiting. And I will say this, don't we all? That's pretty cool stats. 13,140,000 minutes. Well, that makes it seem like a long time, doesn't it? 25 years. Chapter 12. We got plenty of Bible examples, but Abraham is just, he's one of the best examples, I think. For us, as far as waiting is concerned, particularly in this situation, waiting on what? Waiting on God. Waiting on His timing. Hey, when Abraham left Haran, Sarah could have become pregnant right then. As soon as Abraham showed a desire to fulfill the will of God, as soon as he obeyed and left Haran and started on his journey up to Canaan, right then God could have begun the process. But it didn't happen that way. It is believed that he spent about 25 years in Haran before getting on the road again halfway. Like he went halfway and then spent years in Haran. And then his father died, which I think might have been the catalyst in his delay there. Because y'all don't understand Eastern culture like I do, because I lived in it. You say, that's Eastern culture? Oh, yeah. Very Eastern in the way they do things. You don't make a decision outside of the family. There is no decision outside of the family. Families make decisions, and the entire, even extended families in communities up there will go the same route. And that's the way it is in Asian culture. It's not about the one like it is here, me, myself, and I. It's not about the one. It's about the whole or the group. And in Asian culture, it is about the family. And there's nothing wrong with being loyal to family and having that family bond and that family tie till it rubs up against this. And then you leave family aside if necessary. You must, if it's a separation issue. The Bible doesn't say family gets a green pass when it comes to certain things. They just don't. The Bible doesn't delineate that. It doesn't put that down. And Abraham God told the Lord earlier on to leave his country and his kindred. Let's just look what it says. In chapter 12, notice, and the Lord had said, time word, past tense. So in chapter 12, verse 1, this isn't when God said it. This is God reminding us that he said it to Abraham before, correct? Am I seeing it? Is everybody seeing it the same way? Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. And, you know, that could be done. That could be done. You could do that. But then it doesn't stop there. Out of thy country and from thy kindred. And then it goes, and from thy father's house. And in Eastern culture, particularly during this patriarchal time, you just don't do that without the blessing, maybe, of the father. So we find that he had already said that, but the problem is Abram had left his country and his kindred, but he took his family with him. Not only did he take his dad with him, he took his brother's son Lot with him and his family. And he says here, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And we are truly blessed today because Jesus came of the lineage of Abraham. So we are blessed. All the families of the earth will be blessed. We are blessed by Abraham. I'm thankful for him. I look up to him. I read him in the Bible, and his faith, man. So God tells him this here, and he says, I will bless them, and he says, I will make of thee a great nation. What does that mean? It's just him and his wife Sarah. It's just the two of them. They got no kids. But God says, I'm going to make a great nation of you. Well, if God says he's going to make a great nation of you, you're going to start having some youngins here before too long. You got to. You have to. And I'm sure when this first was told to him and he first started out, he thought, man, this is a done deal. It's going to start happening. But it doesn't happen. They spend 25 years in Haran before they get on the road again. Now they're on the road again to Canaan, and he still doesn't have a child. Yet he's given this promise. So look at verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Okay? Now he's going to have this child 13,140,000 minutes later when he departs out of Haran. 25 years later, at the age of 100. All right? But he's been told that he's going to have this great nation. And it is the expectation of every family, at least it was back then. They say the birth rate in America is dropping at a phenomenal rate because nobody wants to get married and nobody wants to have kids either. And they're saying it's really bad. I mean, it's bad. So that's kind of where we are. But then, if a woman could not have a child, it wasn't just stigmatized. Other people believed that there was a curse by God on you. And that's what people believed at that time. So let's just keep reading. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And notice here it says the Canaanite was in the land. And if you go back to Noah, who are a cursed people? Canaanites. Canaanites. It happened right at the end of Noah's life. Right at the last part that we hear about him. There's a curse on Canaan. These are his descendants that are living in this area at this time. So, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord who appeared before him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built it an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. We hear that again back in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, where it says, and then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. It is very possible at this time, this isn't too far out from the Tower of what? Yeah. It is very possible that Abram at this time is kind of a type or a look back on Noah again. He might be one of the few, maybe the only one who's what? Calling on the name of the Lord. It's not a coincidence here that it says, and called upon the name of the Lord, which is exactly what it says back in Genesis chapter 4 when Seth was born, and it said, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now that was corrupted, and we get to Noah where he was the last one. And my question is, in a couple hundred years, because when Abraham was 56 years old, one of Noah's sons was still alive, Shem. It is actually believed by Jewish historians that Shem had an influence on Abram's life. Ah, that's how it passes on. From one man to, Abram didn't just wake up one morning and say, okay, I'm worshiping Jehovah. Somebody had to what? Teach him. Somebody had to teach him. And there were still men left from Noah's family that would have taught him. And it's believed by Jewish historians that he was actually taught by Shem. And here it says, and Abram journeyed going still toward the south. Now, look at verse 10. Here's an issue. God said, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to give this land. I'm going to give you a child. He gets to the land, he builds an altar, he calls on the name of the Lord, and here's the thing, any time we don't build altars, so to speak, today, but in your Christian life, you'll come to these points in time in your life where you've done the will of God, you've gotten into this place where you're in the will of God. Everything seems to be just rolling along smooth, and then all of a sudden, what's going to happen? Trial's going to come. A test is going to come. It could come in the form of just about anything, but a trial or a test is going to come into your life. And here, under trial, which is what it was, Abram falters a bit. He falters a bit. And there was a famine in the land. Well, if God said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, and you're going to have a child, and I'm going to give you this land, are you going to worry about a famine? Let me tell you something, Christian. Let me tell you something. God said that his children will never what? Beg for what? Right. God said his children are never going to beg for bread. I am not worried about the grocery stores running empty. I'm not going to worry if China stops producing all the goods that they're producing. I'm not. You know why? Because God's going to take care of me. In his time. There's the difference. When that time finally comes, and I believe it's going to come, my favorite company is going to crash someday, like all the other Kmarts and old gym stores and all those James Ways and all of that stuff of the years gone by. Just like someday, believe it or not, Walmart will be a fossil and you'll see those empty buildings and go, man, there's one of those old Walmart. Now, it ain't going to be none of, well, it's going to be very few of us. Maybe he might see it. I'm not sure. But that's going to happen. It's just the way things go. But you know what? I hope and pray that my faith is such at this point in time in my life where whoever gets elected this fall, do you know right now in England, the mayor of London has decided that he is going to single-handedly tackle climate change in London. And he has put this zone in the city of London that affects over 4 million people, where you cannot drive a car that's older than a 2005. Well, I'm in trouble because my Tahoe's a 2005. And if you drive into this zone, they have put 2,000 cameras up to capture the images of cars and to start fining people. And these people over there are crying. There was a woman on the phone that I watched on one video literally crying to the mayor saying, I can't do this. I'm a single mother of four. I can't do this. And he basically said, we have to do something, and I'm not one of these people that's not going to do something. And basically said, tough. Tough. And folks, that is coming here. Coming to a government near you. And what's going to happen is the same thing that's going to happen over there. Their economy is going to crash, and people are going to be hungry. But God's going to take care of you. You understand that? So don't you lose one second of sleep over it. And every night you lay your head on your pillow, you say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And we'll spend all of eternity walking the streets of gold. Abraham didn't do that, though. He looked for greener. Young people, there ain't no greener grass. It's just grass. It's just on the other side of the fence. And if it is greener, it's growing over top of the septic tank. That's why it's green. There is no greener grass. Abraham forsakes the place of blessing. He's not willing to what? What's he not willing to do here? Wait on God. He's not willing to wait on God. And he goes to Egypt, gets himself in a passel of trouble, lies, is a terrible testimony, and brings back Egyptian baggage. Let me tell you something, young people. A trip to the world, you will bring back baggage. And it'll cling to you like tar. Can't get it off. And that's exactly what happened here. He went to Egypt and he brought back an Egyptian slave. And he was told that God would take care of him. And then look here, verse 13. He gets his head screwed back on straight. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had. What's the problem here? A lot with him. What did God tell him at the get-go? God told him at the get-go, you're to leave your kindred and your father's house. That means your family. And he still got Lot. He still has Lot. However, at a point in time in that chapter, chapter 13, he separates from Lot. He goes one way, Lot goes the other. So when he separates from Lot in chapter 13, look at verse 14. And notice when God speaks to him. All right? Now, he goes to Egypt. God takes care of him in spite of himself in Egypt. Listen, even when we fail God, he's still there and he's watching out over us. And he protects us in spite of us. He protected Lot in spite, Abram, in spite of himself in Egypt, didn't he? He protected him. He was always there. He was watching him. He was out of God's will. Yet God still graciously and mercifully protected him. And let me tell you something. We get out of God's will lots. We do. And God's grace and his mercy is still there. And he's still watching out over us. He's still looking out for us. And he brings him back with Egypt. And as a matter of fact, he brings him back from Egypt with more than what he had when he went. So he blessed him. Oh. Now, he's still got Lot with him. Look over at verse 14 of chapter 13. And the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, God did not speak to him again until he did what he was supposed to do. So he does it. He separates from Lot, and God immediately speaks to him. And the Lord said unto Abram after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, gonna have a baby. How many times has he got to tell Abraham you're gonna have a baby? And thy seed, gonna have a baby. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. Think about that prophecy. Think about the Jews. Think about the future. And think about into the next age. You know that we, when we get to heaven, we're not going to be having any more families. We had our family here, but I'm not convinced the Jews are going to stop. Because in order for their seed to be dust, that's more people than the Jews have ever had on the face of this earth 10 times over, ain't it? So how's that going to be? Is God just exaggerating? Does God exaggerate? No. He doesn't exaggerate. Just something to think about. Are they going to be having children into eternity so that their seed is dust? I don't know. Y'all are looking at me like deer in the headlights. I see smoke rolling out of your ears. Look at chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Sounds like he's doing a little whining here. Because Abraham wants it like me. I want my next day delivery on my porch in the morning from Amazon. When I wake up, it's sitting there on the porch. And if I could get it yesterday, I would. Only I don't know how I'd get it because we're already past yesterday. But I'd figure something out. I'd time travel that package into the future. So here he says, and Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. Do you know what he wants to do right here? Do you realize what he's asking God? Can we do this through Eliezer? See, God, you haven't given me a baby, and you know, time is ticking, and I ain't getting no younger, and neither is Sarah. And we ain't got a baby, and I don't see that. I don't see that.
Listen, what you don't see is up to God. And he'll bring it to pass if he's promised it. He'll take care of it. The same thing here with Abram. He doesn't see it. He sees no path forward. He just doesn't.
That's because he's thinking like a what? Like a man. He's thinking like a man. And he's asking him here. He's asking God, can I do this? Can I do this with Eliezer? And behold, the word of the Lord came into him saying, this shall not be thine heir. So what was Abram doing? He wanted to make him his heir. He has no other heir. This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. You're going to have a... How many times is this now? Three times he said you're going to have a baby? Okay. I told Hannah that, Sue. I told her about three times. You're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby. And what? She had a baby.
That's right.
And behold, the word of the Lord came into him saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Here we go again. First it's the dust, and now it's the stars. And have that many Jews been around? No. We got a lot more people to go. We got a lot more people to go. And he's not exaggerating. He's not exaggerating. I believe all through the millennium, the Jewish people will be having children. The ones that live through the tribulation. Because they're not going to have new glorified bodies. They're going to be just like we are right now. Only I believe it's going to go back prior to the flood. And they're going to live that whole 1,000 years. Just like they did then, having children.
Growing.
And guess who's going to be watching that? Abram's going to be watching that take place. No, I'm not crazy now. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. This is going to happen.
Look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be.
And verse 6 is a good verse. And this is what we need to do when God promises us something. What's he do here in 6? And he believed in the Lord. He put his faith and trust in God. And he counted for it, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Now, what in the world happened between verse 6 and chapter 16, verse 1? Tell me, somebody tell me what happened between verse 6 of chapter 15 and chapter 16, verse 1. I'll tell you what happened. More of that 13 million minutes, seconds, minutes ticked off. That's what happened. Because it wasn't whose time? It wasn't God's time. It wasn't God's time. God's time is God's time, and it is not ours. Yet in chapter 16, verse 1, we find a man that waited on the Lord, then did something in his own strength, and then waited on the Lord again, and then tried to do it another way, and then waited on the Lord again, and here in chapter 16, now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. I don't care if she bared him no children yet or not. What did God say? Amen. I'm going to give you a baby. And Sarah said unto Abraham, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me. Listen to what she says here. Who's she blaming?
She's blaming God. Let me tell you something. God gets the blame for a lot of stuff that he should never get the blame for.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Particularly evil. Mm-hmm. Somebody passes and people blame God all the time. Mm. It's not God's fault. Yes. It's not God's fault. That's a study in and of itself. And here, she blames God. Matter of fact, I skipped over the chapter just for time's sake where she laughed in the tent door. But now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaiden, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abraham, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. How's she going to obtain children by her? How's she going to obtain children by her? This is no different than Eliezer. It's not their child. Eliezer, God said, it's not your child. He won't be your heir. This isn't their heir. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, maid the Egyptian, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. Notice the time span there. Time's ticking off again. And he went unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she was conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abraham, My wrong be upon thee. No, Sarah, your wrong is upon you. But you know what? As the patriarch, as the spiritual leader of the home, it did fall on Abraham as well.
Sure.
What she should have said is, My wrong be upon us both.
But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt heartily with her, she fled from her face. I'm not going to get into that. We preached on that at great length before. Look over at 17:1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between thee, me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations out of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in the generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed.
Huh. Again, what does he say? You're going to have a baby.
But I just want to pause before we close, and we got to close now. We'll finish Abram next week. The Jewish people to this day are reaping Abram and Sarah's inability to wait for God's timing. Okay? They are reaping today, their forefather, the patriarch of their nation. They are reaping today his sin in not waiting on God.
Folks, if God tells us to wait, it would behoove us to wait. Because whenever we take things into our hands and say, I got this, it is disaster waiting for a place to happen. And
the consequences could be felt many generations into the future, Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think about that as I live my life now. To not wait is to get ahead of God. Yes. And the only time you ever want to get ahead of God is when he says this, walk before me, and I'll make sure you're staying on the path. Walk before me. But I would encourage you as we close the message tonight, don't make Abram and Sarah's mistake. We're going to see some other Bible characters as well. We're not done with this. I am going to go ahead and hit those verses where, because we all talk about that verse where Sarah laughs in the tent door. Well, guess what? She's not the only one that did it. There's another verse where Abram does the same thing. He believes God in the one chapter in verse 6. But then, two chapters later, he's laughing. And then she's laughing. It's like, this ain't happening. Because we're too old. It's not happening. God's timing is always best. Don't get ahead of God. Don't get behind God. Wait on the Lord. Let's pray.